bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture as we examine the issue of being persuaded of God's love. Now, there are several venues that help us to be persuaded of God's love, and there are also several things that may hinder that feeling of God's love. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, by Donnie Collins.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak and alone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. When my way grows gray, precious Lord, lead me near. When the day is past and gone, through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak and precious Lord, lead me on. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. For
our study today, we're going to look at several different passages of Scripture as we examine the idea of how to experience God's love. Let me begin by asking you a question. Do you find yourselves sometimes struggling to feel like God loves you? Well, if so, perhaps we are looking at the question in the wrong way. For example, the idea of feeling is very much emotional-oriented. And if you know anything about the emotions, you know that they can be like riding a roller coaster. You can go up, you can go down. And so feelings are like riding a roller coaster because they are dependent upon external circumstances. So perhaps the better expression would be to focus on experiencing God's love, or more specifically, how to be persuaded of God's love. Now, initially, persuasion of God's love is something that is received or experienced by faith, that is, by believing and trusting. And first of all, this is centered upon His Word, the Scriptures. God has clearly revealed His love for sinners, for His covenant people. And I want us to just simply read some of the more better-known passages that deal with the expression of God's love for His people. To begin with, let's look at John chapter 3 in verse 16, perhaps the best-known passage in Scripture. Here, in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, He states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then from a great Old Testament passage, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Here the Old Testament prophet writes, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." And then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, we have recorded these words. John writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." And then in verse 16 of this same passage, again John writes, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul records this statement, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." One last passage that we could note, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now these passages and many other form part of the testimony of Scripture regarding the love of God for His people, for sinners. And of course, the pinnacle of this is seen specifically in God the Father giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross in order to redeem us from the guilt and the curse and the power of sin. But again, we have this testimony found in Scripture. God clearly reveals His love for sinners. But as we noted, we have to be persuaded of this. That is, it must be embraced by faith. The testimony is there, but that testimony must be apprehended. It must be embraced. It must be believed. It must be trusted. And so faith apprehends this fundamental truth. It's not just the cold hard facts. We're not talking about empty intellectualism, because while faith does embrace or believe truth, faith is also an operative power. That is, it acts upon the truth. Now, this leads us to another thought to consider, and that is, when it comes to the intellectual, the mind, what is needed is not just simply the testimony of God Himself in Scripture, but what is needed is also the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, Paul makes this statement, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now notice this statement, "The love of God has been poured out in our hearts." And the agent of this is the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift for his people. Not only is the Holy Spirit the agent of regeneration, but the Holy Spirit is the down payment or the earnest of our inheritance. It shows God's ownership, God's presence. Now, objectively, the love of God is seen specifically in the works of God that culminate in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ. But experientially, that is, coming to the point of understanding something of this love, of receiving it, of embracing it, of being persuaded of it, comes in connection not only with the testimony of Scripture, but also by the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, here, according to this passage, the believer's hope is certain because God's love is assured to us by the Spirit's presence, by his ministry, by his work within us. So while sometimes we may not feel like God loves us because of the circumstances that we face in life, and remember, our feelings can be faulty because we are reacting to circumstances. Now, believers, we are not exempt from adverse circumstances in life. We're not exempt from difficulties, from sufferings, from hardships. And so if we focus on those things, then the reality is, yes, sometimes we may not feel like God loves us. We may not be assured of his love for us. So instead of looking at the circumstances, we have to move beyond that by faith to be reassured of the testimony that is found in Scripture that over and over again reaffirms the love of God for his people. God loves sinners. This is the testimony of Scripture, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit to move within us, to teach us, to instruct us, so that we can be persuaded of God's love for us. Because that persuasion of God's love is the basis for us to be able to look at life appropriately, specifically our circumstances, to know that regardless of our present circumstances, regardless of what we are facing, God loves us. Even when we hurt, God loves us because his presence is there. His promises and provisions are there. So the persuasion of God's love is something that is initially experienced by faith. Now, this persuasion of God's love is also seen in his providence when it comes to our lives. Now, the idea of providence just simply means that God is actively working in every aspect of your life to bring about his purpose, to bring about our good. When it comes to our lives, God is not on the sidelines watching what is going on, but he is active in our life. In providence specifically, is God working out his plan, his purpose, in the lives of his people. So part of this thing of being persuaded of God's love is to know that he is working in your life. Now, this is a great concept. God is a God who works. And it's not just simply, quote, with the big things. We're not talking about something that is limited to God's original creation. But God is actively working now in your life. God doesn't take days off. He doesn't take a holiday. The Word of God teaches us that he does not sleep. He does not slumber. But God is actively working in the lives of his people. And the reason that God works in the lives of his people is because of his love, his care for his people. Now, God's preeminent desire over everything else is that he receive glory. Now, God working in your life is a demonstration of his love for you, but it's not empty emotionalism. But God's desire in that expression of love is that as he works in us, that our response, our actions, our attitudes are to be such that he is glorified, because we look to him in all of these various ways to know that he is worthy, again, of our correct attitudes, of our actions that should fall into obedience to his word, to our thoughts and our responses, to show our love for him, because we're responding to the greatness of his love for us. So when things happen in your life, even what the Puritans used to refer to as the dark nights of the soul, that is the dark providence of God, that is when we find ourselves facing hostilities, when we find ourselves facing great challenges, times of uncertainties, when we are hurting, when we lose loved ones, even in those moments, God is still working. You see, not only has God promised never to leave us or forsake us or abandon us, but he works in our lives to bring us to that final point when we are glorified before him. So everything that God does in your life, from events that might be considered ordinary or mundane, to those life-changing events, God is actively working as a demonstration of his love, but to bring you to a point of glorifying him. Now, another thing to keep in mind about being persuaded of God's love is not only the testimony of the Word of God, not only that inward working of the Holy Spirit, not only of his providence in our lives, but also when it comes to what may be termed as those quiet moments, those moments when it's just God and us. This may be in our personal worship moments, our devotions. It may be in those moments of prayer, those moments of reading the scriptures. But in those moments, as we truly seek after God, that God, at different times and in differing degrees, reveals the manifestation of his presence. And in those moments, knowing that you are in the very presence of God, there is often that accompanying feeling or persuasion of the love of God. In those moments, unless God's presence is for purposes of conviction, but those moments just often permeate with the sense of God's love. His presence just overshadows us, or it may tug at our hearts as we read through Scripture. Again, different ways and in differing degrees. But in those positive moments, there is the experiencing of God's love. And even in those moments that we might call negative, where God's presence is clearly felt, but more in the lines of bringing about conviction, confronting us in our sins, there is still the element of love, and we must not forget that. Because when God confronts us, when he disciplines us, when he brings about conviction, that is a demonstration of God's love as well. Because if God did not love you, he would leave you as you are. He wouldn't care. He wouldn't do those things. But because of God's love for you, even in those moments of brokenness and conviction, he still draws us to the greatness of his love. And what that love ultimately leads to as we respond to it, and that is to show our love for him by having the right attitudes, the right thinking about God, and by having the right actions towards him. Very simply, that is being obedient to his revealed will. You know, one great passage that I've quoted quite often, when Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commandments. That follow through of obedience is a testimony to the reality of our love for him. How do we know that God loved us? Well, love is always action-oriented. God has not simply informed us or revealed to us his great love for us, but it was clearly demonstrated in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, as he died upon the cross to redeem us from the curse of our sins. And so our love for God follows that same line of thinking. Our love for God is also action-oriented. As Jesus says, if you love me, keep or observe, be obedient to my commandments. Because when we are obedient to the commandments of the Lord found in Scripture, what we're saying is that, Lord, you are so important to me. I love you so much that I am willing to forsake, to sacrifice my own will so that I can do your will. Not in action only, but action that is revealed in my attitudes, in my thinking of you, my personal devotions and worship. Because Jesus goes on to say that his commandments are not grievous. Now, sometimes the commandments of God may seem grievous, and that's because we're struggling because we don't want to forsake our will, what we want. But the more that we grow into love for God, the easier it is to abandon our will for the sake of the will of God. So those quiet moments that we have can be great testimonies, great moments of persuasion of God's love for us. Now, I want to close by asking, why is it that we sometimes don't feel like God loves us, that we're not always persuaded? Well, sometimes it may be because our love for God has grown cold. We've become more focused on the things of this world. Our eyes have been taken off the Lord. And when we become consumed with whatever it is in this world that at that moment we deem to be more important to us than God, that eats away at our love for the Lord, and it eats away at that confidence and that persuasion of God's love for us. Sometimes what causes us to feel unloved is the consequences of our sin. Sometimes when God disciplines us, there is that feeling of the absence of God. And the consequence of our sin is there right before us, staring at us in the face. And because of that, we can't seem to see God's continued love for us until we move through the process of authentic repentance and seeking forgiveness, seeking restoration in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes even difficulties in life can make us unsure about God's love. Now, the reality is that no one in this life is exempt from suffering in some form or fashion. And this is especially true for believers. Believers are not exempt from the hardships or the difficulties, the challenges of life. We're just not. But sometimes when we face these challenges, we are very much like Peter in the narrative that is spoken of him when Jesus was walking on the water and he asked the Lord, "Can I walk on the water to you?" Now in the story, you know that as he got out of the boat and was heading towards Jesus, he was actually walking on the water. But that narrative indicates that he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to notice his surroundings, and he began to sink. And this is what happens to a lot of us. Instead of focusing upon the Lord, we look at our circumstances, the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, and the suffering, and we begin to sink. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't hurt. We do. But the key is what we do about those difficulties, those challenges, those hurts. Like anything, we sacrifice them to the Lord. We bring them before his presence. We lay them down before him. We confess them to him. Be open with the Lord. Be honest with the Lord. But seek his directive. Seek the assurance of his love. Seek his will in what you are to do, how you are to respond. And that opens up the floodgates of that persuasion of God's love, even in the midst of uncertainties. So the bottom line is that God has demonstrated his love. He has revealed the testimony of his love. And that testimony is received by faith. And as we grow in our faith, even through difficulties, as we experience that persuasion in those moments that we privately have with the Lord in our prayers, in our reading of Scripture, in our personal moments of study and devotion, all of these things work together so that we can be persuaded of the phenomenal love of God for his people, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he has provided for our every need, and that his grace will sustain us, enable us to do what he has called us to do. When we embrace God's love, when we are persuaded by it, that in turn enables us to show our response, our love for God, by abandoning our will to his. Well, until next week, may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word, and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.